And now it's time for Highlights from Christian History with Michael Goins. It has been said that a people that forgets its history loses its identity. And without a doubt, contemporary confusion about what it means to be a Christian, and even a Baptist, may be directly traced to the idea that the past is irrelevant to the modern world. In such a climate, intent on deconstructing history, we are more convinced than ever that an understanding of our rich history is of paramount importance. So we're glad that you've joined us for this edition of Highlights from Christian History. Here's Brother Goins with today's segment.
Our topic today in Highlights from Christian History is The Dark Ages, Part 2. We're looking at AD 600 to 1500. In his book Sketches from Church History, S.M. Houghton refers to the institutionalized church, or Roman Catholicism, when he says, "The condition of the church in the Middle Ages was pitiful. The masses of the people had a blind faith in the doctrines and traditions of the church, and never inquired whether they were in harmony with the scriptures. Few could read, books were scarce. It was a rare thing for a man to have any real acquaintance with the Word of God. Superstition increased alarmingly. The doctrine of indulgences gained general acceptance. The church taught that forgiveness of sins might be obtained by the rendering of service to the church, and in the 13th century, indulgences were even sold for money. This was truly a time of gross spiritual darkness, but the sunbeams of truth were not totally eclipsed by Catholicism. A group in the valleys of the Piedmont in Switzerland and southern France, known as the Waldensians, or the Poor Men of Lyons, had gospel light in their dwellings. Those incorrigible Waldenses. The Waldenses, named for their founder, Peter Waldo, emphasized the scriptures alone as the basis of faith, and that Christ is the one and only mediator between God and men, 1 Timothy 2:5. They rejected the worship of saints, and in contrast to Catholicism, which observed seven sacraments, the Waldenses observed two ordinances only, baptism by immersion and the Lord's Supper. The Waldenses were very evangelistic. They mobilized in groups of two, disguising themselves as peddlers, trying to sell knickknacks. Whenever they found a listening ear, they proclaimed God's word fearlessly, criticizing the false teachings and traditions of Catholicism. The growing momentum of these lay ministers soon drew the ire of authorities. They were condemned as heretics at the Third and Fourth Lateran Councils, and those who were not priests were forbidden to read the Bible. The Bible was placed on the Index of Forbidden Books. When the Waldensians refused to curtail their activities, prosecution resulted. Inquisitors hunted the simple and pious Waldenses for many years. Thousands were slain in the Piedmont. Mothers with infants were rolled down the rocks. The Waldenses fled to the mountains for safety. At one time, 400 women and children were housed in a cave while the men were away. When this hiding place was discovered, the enemies lit a fire at the opening of the cave and all who were within perished. Persecution and martyrdom of the Waldenses continued until Oliver Cromwell declared in 1655 a solemn fast on behalf of the sufferers and threatened to defend them with the British military. The inquisitors could not deny, however, the purity of their morals and the sincerity of their convictions. Like their contemporaries, the Albigenses, the Waldenses were the earliest champions of our modern liberty of thought. They were viewed as rebels because they refused to comply with papal corruptions and practiced anti-sacerdotalism, that is, the idea that the sacraments or ordinances are commemorative, not redemptive, ceremonies. Elder Sylvester Hassel writes, "They were very industrious, honest, modest, frugal, chaste, and temperate. They rejected the authority of the fathers and the Catholic traditions and the doctrines of purgatory, indulgences, transubstantiation, monasticism, sacramentalism, and celibacy." Though their doctrinal purity in the 12th and 13th century was suspect, being more interested in the practical Christianity of James, than the doctrinal orthodoxy of Paul, yet the Waldenses taught that God alone can forgive sin and that every believer can approach God as a priest. Hence, the Waldenses, together with the Albigenses and the Petrobrusians, stand as testimony to the fact that various nonconformist groups maintained a separate and distinct identity to Catholicism, even in the Middle Ages. It was through these devout and simple Christians, who were committed to following the apostolic pattern of church life revealed in the New Testament, that Christ preserved His church during the Dark Ages. John Wycliffe, Hero or Heretic? Though the Middle Ages were days of pervasive spiritual darkness, the birth of John Wycliffe in England in 1330 signaled the dawning of a new day. Wycliffe is called the Morning Star of the Reformation, and the opening salvos of the Protestant Reformation of the 16th century are credited to him. He and his English followers, called Lollards, exercised great influence on the Bohemians and their leader John Huss, whose teachings, in turn, exercised great influence on Martin Luther. 150 years after Wycliffe, Luther would be accused by the Pope at the Diet of Worms of reviving the errors of Wycliffe and Huss. Though he was a Roman Catholic, Wycliffe was very critical of the corruptions of the clergy. He wrote and preached clearly in the Middle English dialect of the common man instead of formal Latin, and his popularity among the populace grew at once. His followers, the Lollards, were numerous. One historian wrote, "They were everywhere. A man could scarcely meet two people on the road, but one of them was a disciple of Wycliffe." Perhaps the most famous Lollard was Sir John Oldcastle, who was martyred by hanging and burning in London in 1417. In his book Welsh Succession of Primitive Baptist Faith and Practice, Elder Mike Ivey writes, "It is probable that Lord Oldcastle was an old Baptist minister." Davis notes, "The Baptists sometimes met in the chapel at Oaken Court where Oldcastle preached." Wycliffe spent many years of his life challenging Roman Catholic dogma, such as the doctrine of transubstantiation, Cyprian's doctrine that salvation is only attainable through the church, and the erroneous belief that forgiveness can be purchased through indulgences. He taught that the true church was composed of the congregation of the predestined as the body of Christ, which Wycliffe contrasted with the visible or church militant. He rejected the ultra-predestinarian views of Bradwardine and sought to retain some of man's freedom. Wycliffe rejected the view that if any man sins, God himself determines that man to the act. In 1382, Wycliffe decided that the best way to counter the excesses of Rome was to translate the entire Bible into English. Prior to this time, only the clergy had access to the scriptures, and that only in the Latin Vulgate. By making the scriptures available to the common man in his own vernacular, Wycliffe enabled people to search God's word for themselves. Wycliffe wrote, "The laity ought to understand the faith, and as doctrines of our faith are in the scriptures, believers should have the scriptures in a language which they fully understand." He wrote, "Holy Scripture is the preeminent authority for every Christian, and the rule of faith, and of all human perfection. It alone is the supreme law that is to rule the church, state, and Christian life without human traditions and statutes." Wycliffe's five rules for studying the Bible included the following instructions: obtain a reliable text, understand the logic of Scripture, compare the parts of Scripture with one another, maintain an attitude of humble seeking, and receive the instruction of the Holy Spirit. In 1377, Pope Gregory XI issued five papal bulls condemning the work of John Wycliffe as heresy. The bull called Wycliffe a deadly pest who, if not plucked up by the roots, would infect multitudes. Wycliffe responded to the bulls with a personal protest to the Archbishop at Lambeth Palace, in which he claimed to be a sound Christian who had followed the sacred scriptures. He was never, however, excommunicated. After Wycliffe's death in 1384, his followers continued his work, copying the Holy Scriptures and distributing them to the people. Some of the students who had studied under Wycliffe at Oxford carried his writings to Bohemia, where John Huss awaited the next leg of this relay for truth. 40 years after his death, the Council of Constance burned John Huss at the stake and condemned the deceased Wycliffe on 260 counts. They ordered his writings to be burned and his remains exhumed, burned, and scattered in the river. His remains were more easily dispensed of, however, than his teachings. One historian wrote, "They burned his bones to ashes and cast them into the Swift, a neighboring brook running hard by. Thus the brook conveyed his ashes into Avon, Avon into Severn, Severn into the narrow seas, and they into the main ocean, and thus the ashes of Wycliffe are the emblem of his doctrine, which now is dispersed the world over."
Thank you for joining us today for this brief snapshot from the past. Please join us again soon for another episode of Highlights from Christian History.